experimentation.
Curiosity.
The next idea.
Technology alone is not enough.
We see an ever-growing number of websites, apps, digital tools, but all of that technology will not produce meaningful change in Michigan without committed human partners. Our latest contributor to the next idea is a computer scientist who has seen firsthand the shortcomings of technology. Kentaro Toyama is an associate professor at the University of Michigan's School of Information. His new book is titled Geek Heresy, Rescuing Social Change from the Cult of Technology. Kentaro, why does social change need to be rescued from what you call the cult of technology?
There's a tendency, I think, coming from Silicon Valley firms to believe that the technology in and of itself causes positive social change. And so when I say that it needs to be rescued, it's the idea that we actually need to do a lot more than just write new apps or develop websites.
There has been growing criticism. Silicon Valley isn't really producing the kind of technology that could truly change people's lives for the better. What do you think of that criticism?
I think it's accurate on the whole. In fact, if you really look at the history of technology in this country, it's not clear that some of the great gains that the industry trumpets are actually occurring. So, for example, just over the last four decades, you know, we've seen a golden age of digital innovation, but poverty hasn't declined, inequality has skyrocketed, and social mobility hasn't gone anywhere.
And you worked for Microsoft in India, and you saw this happen firsthand, didn't you, the limits of technology?
Yes, I started a research lab in India, in Bangalore. And at the time, I did, you know, my best to find different ways in which digital technologies could serve, very poor communities, whether it was in agriculture, healthcare, education, or governance.
Tell me more. Then what happened?
Well, so, you know, we would develop these tools and programs in which we use computers, mobile phones, different, digital cameras, even custom hardware in some cases. And we would work very closely with communities which we thought could benefit from them. In research pilots, the projects worked great, but as we tried to roll them out at larger scale, we found that ultimately the technology did very little. And, when we looked at the situation more closely, what we found was that, you know, basically in our research pilots, we arranged the social conditions just right so that the technology could have its impact. You know, we made sure that we worked with strong partners who were committed to their mission. But as we tried to roll it out in exactly the communities that we most wanted to impact, we found that organizations that were either dysfunctional or indifferent or even in some cases corrupt ultimately wouldn't use the technology to their advantage.
So as a computer scientist, was that a difficult conclusion for you to reach, that technology is indeed limited when it comes to changing our world?
Absolutely. In fact, I would say that even though I saw early indications of this within a year or two, it really took me 4 or 5 years before it sunk in and before I was willing to move on and try something else.
And do you get pushback from other computer scientists and computer experts to this idea that the cult of technology can overtake social change and it isn't all about the technology?
I do, certainly. I think there are, you know, any number of people, not just technologists, but even increasingly people who affect policy, who are really interested in social change from a nonprofit sector. They have seen the technology do so much in their own lives that they immediately assume that it can have impact on other people as well. What I always say is that technology amplifies underlying human forces, and what that means is that, you know, for people to really take advantage of a technology, they need to have some basic capacity first.
And as you think about that experience of the technology not working to help the poor that you were trying to help in India, what were the real deep reasons for that not happening?
It came down to any number of things. It could be because, for example, our intended beneficiaries didn't have a solid education, and so, you know, they really couldn't do much with the knowledge that we were providing. It could be that our partners were, you know, organizationally weak, and so they couldn't implement things as we thought they should be. Sometimes their intentions were not aligned. We found that in many cases, you know, nonprofits that appeared to be wanting to do something positive, in fact, you know, had their own gain at heart, and so on. And so any number of these kind of social, political, economic issues really interfered.
Now, can you give us any examples that come to your mind where technology is having an impact and a positive one because it does have the right mix of human support?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. So in India, one of our projects was a project called Digital Green. And this is a project in which we use digital video in a certain way to help farmers learn better agricultural practices. And Digital Green has now been spun off as a nonprofit organization. And it works by amplifying the efforts of other organizations that are committed to farmer welfare. So the organization partners with either government organizations or, again, nonprofit organizations, and it looks for exactly the organizations that are already working well with farmers, that have established rapport with farmers, and who farmers trust. And what we do is effectively to take that trust and then ramp it up by using digital video.
And as you say in your essay for the next idea, there is no Digital Green without its committed human partners.
That is exactly right.
Now, you've only recently joined the faculty at the University of Michigan. What drew you here to Southeast Michigan?
I was drawn to, of course, the incredible university in Ann Arbor. My colleagues are fantastic. The university itself is terrific. And in addition, I thought that there was a great opportunity to apply some of the lessons I learned in India also within the United States. Michigan, of course, is also there are places where there are economic challenges. And so the question is, was there something that I learned in India that could also be applied here?
And I know you're going to be focusing some of your research in Detroit. What are you hoping to learn and accomplish?
So in the United States, we have an abundance of websites and apps that claim to help people, earn income, earn additional income, whether it's Uber with drivers or TaskRabbit with small jobs. And, our thesis is that these services are great for people who are already online and who know how to use these online tools and who have, all kinds of kind of backup formal systems, whether it's bank accounts or family who can help them and so on to do these tasks. We believe that if you go to places like Detroit, there are plenty of people who could, in theory, take advantage of these tools, but who don't have all of their other things aligned in such a way that they could actually use them. And so our hope is to find people who are interested, let's say, in informal jobs, and then effectively train them to the point that they would actually be able to benefit from the technology.
You offer a really, I think, cool, creative idea in your essay of one type of expertise that you could build on would be Detroit residents' knowledge of their own city. Talk to us about that.
Yes, absolutely. So I think the trick is to build on the strengths that people already have. And in Detroit, we have residents who have been there for decades and who really know the city inside and out, and who I think could also, tell people about the history of their neighborhoods and so forth. And at the same time, increasingly Detroit is a place where people come for business reasons, even for tourism. And so the question is, can we find ways to match these people in a way that's productive for both? And I think one of those potential ideas is for tourism, where we have local guides giving paid tours to people coming in from outside the city.
Kintaro, you're actually looking for groups to partner with you in this effort.
Yes, my colleagues and I who are working on this project are looking for nonprofit organizations or possibly government offices who already have established ties with people who are looking for jobs or extra work.
And we will put a link to Kentaro's email address at the end of the next idea essay that he's written, so you'll be able to contact him directly.
That would be great.
Interesting, interesting ideas, the idea of building the human capacity in order to help technology produce meaningful change in Michigan. A very, very interesting essay by Kentaro Toyama, who's associate professor at the U of M School of Information. His new book is Geek Heresy, Rescuing Social Change from the Cult of Technology. You'll find his essay at the Next Idea page at michiganradio.org. Share your thoughts in the comments section there or at Michigan Radio's Facebook page or on Twitter at Next Idea MI. Kentaro, thank you so much for being part of the Next Idea.
Thanks for having me.